we doing this morning, church? I'm excited. It's been a while since I've had the opportunity to be up here, and I'm excited to do that. We've been in a crazy season. This is the fall season for us is beyond extremely busy. And as parents, it's a crazy season. Last week we had one kid in homecoming. And this week we had our oldest daughter went to homecoming. We officially are high school parents, and just keep praying because, you know, we need it. We need it. She's a great kid. Both of our kids are great kids. But anyway, so I feel like just roll me up after this service today. You know what I mean? Like, that's just kind of how I feel. But we are right in the middle of our series called Play Free. And this series was really birthed out of a longing for us to really understand and grow in relationships and what relationships look like. And there's a way that we can play free, meaning we can be free in relationships without being tethered in an unhealthy way. And so that's what this whole series context is about, is playing free in relationships. And so, you know, the last couple of weeks, Richie's been speaking, and it's been so good. Go back and listen to those messages because they're excellent. But today, I have the privilege of talking about the purposeful relationship and what it means to be in relationship on purpose. And so I have a question for you today before we even get started. And I want you to kind of ponder this as I'm speaking and think about this. And I want to kind of see this, like, you know, pre-test, post-test kind of thing, like how you feel before versus how you feel after. So here's my question to you. Do you believe that one group of people can change an entire community? Do you believe that? Do you believe in your mind that one group of people united, coming together to fulfill the will of God, and walking in accordance to his obedience, do you believe that you can change a community? Let's see. I mean, we might, but maybe we don't. One of the first things that you see when you come into the community chapel is a big, huge sign, floor to ceiling, that says, we are part of something bigger. And that sign, what it represents is the very first thing we want you to know before you even come into the sanctuary is that it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about any one person. It's about a group of people. It's about a commitment to the word of God and a commitment to walk in obedience to his word that gives us power. And so that's before you know anything about the community chapel, what we want you to know is that we are part of something bigger. And that's a big deal for us. So big that we put it on a gigantic sign for the very first thing for you to see when you walk in the door. Because we believe so powerfully and so strongly in relationships. It's in our name, community. It's what we believe in our heart. It's how we walk it out. And so today, let's dive into a little bit of that in the Bible. Let's go into Acts chapter 4 and verse 32 and 37. I'm going to read. Y'all know I struggle with reading, so pray for me and let's do this together. Okay. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, one of the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. Let's flip over to Matthew 25, verses 30 through 40, and it says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did this to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me." There's so much power in those two chapters and those two parts of scripture that I don't think that we can just breeze by. And we can't just read Acts 4 and keep on going. We can't just read Matthew 25 and keep on going. We have to sit and we have to ponder and we have to ask the Lord, "Lord, what have you asked me to do to the people that you've called me to? Lord, what have you asked me to do in response to these verses? God, what are you asking of me?" Because we read verses like that and we think, man, someone should help the poor. Man, someone should feed people. But the Lord has given us the abilities and the resources to do that. But you know, because we don't have the mentality, "I'm part of something bigger," it belongs to somebody else's responsibility. And the Lord's saying, when you did it to them, you did it to me. And if we live like that, then it causes us to be purposeful in the way that we relate to one another. It causes us to be purposeful in our mindset and how we connect with one another. It causes us to dig our heels in when everybody around us is just doing what fulfills their needs. And we say, "Lord, but I want to be obedient to what you want me to do in this season." And when we do that, we live on purpose for a purpose. And I don't believe there's anybody sitting in this room today that God has not created for a purpose. And you might be thinking it's insignificant and I don't really have a lot to give. But I promise you, if you give God one yes, he multiplies it. He multiplies it. And that yes becomes another yes. And that yes becomes an even bigger yes. And sometimes, yes, he asks us the big, "Will you be obedient in this area?" But it starts with something small. And I think a lot of times what happens is when we get into a relationship or when we get into a situation, we get into community, we kind of walk into a church or we walk into a scenario or a group of people and we think like, we have an option here. We have options. And so today I want to talk about three barriers that keep us from being in relationship with people and in purposeful relationships. And the first is self-sufficiency. I can do it better myself. Speaking from someone who struggles with this, self-sufficiency, it is very difficult for me to ask for help. It is very difficult for me to ask for help. There are times when I don't want to burden people. Anybody in that situation? I'd rather just do it myself. I could do it better anyway. But what happens is I rob someone else of extending their gifts and utilizing their gifts. And then because of that, we don't actually have a lot of power. It's just one person really running around like a chicken with their head cut off, instead of a group of people bonding together. And then as a result of that, we grow in relationship. We grow in community. And so I want to make you aware of that. In Galatians 6:2, it says this: share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. So we're going to share in each other's burdens. There's things that I cannot accomplish on my own that I need people in my life. I might try. You might see me. I look disheveled, all a mess, crazy, trying to do it in my own strength. You guys know my testimony for years. For years and years and years, I tried to do everything in my own strength. If Misty can't do it, then I'm not going to do it. But the Lord was so faithful in calling us to plant this church, and I realized I literally can't do it in my own strength. There's no way. We need each other. So be aware of that area of self-sufficiency. The second thing is unrealistic expectations. In relationships specifically, unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations, if not submitted, become stepping stones for offense. Unrealistic expectations, if not submitted to the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, become opportunities to be offended. And there are people at the beach right now who have been offended by churches multiple times over and over again. And that hurts. So we don't want to say, and I don't want to go to church anymore. I was hurt at church one time. We have to lay those things down. We have to lay down our expectations. When we walk into a community, if God has called you to the community chapel, when you come in here, you lay down what I think church should look like. We have to lay down what I think relationships should look like. I have to lay down my expectations in this matter, and I have to submit to the will of God and say, okay, Lord, if you've called me here, then how can I make this better? How can I grow? How can I be of service, Lord? How can I be of service? Use me, God, in this situation. Lord, help me surrender fully to you. And when we do that, we take those gaps in we talked about this a couple months ago. We talked about that gap in between the reality and expectation. And the only person who can fill that is the Holy Spirit. The only person. Because somewhere in between there are your needs. And only he can fully meet them. Only the Holy Spirit can meet your needs fully. We try, but it's only through him that we are fully filled. And then it causes us to love others differently. It causes us to love others completely in a way that doesn't just meet my needs, but in a way that also serves them. When was the last time, parents, that we said, Lord, how can I serve my kids today? That's a struggle. That's a real struggle. Because in our mind, we deserve respect. But as my kids have gotten older, what I actually hear the Holy Spirit tell me in moments where I just literally want to pull my hair out is, how can you serve them right now? How can I serve them? They can clean their room. How about that? They can stop putting wet towels on the floor. They can turn the lights off. I sound like my grandfather. I don't even know. But there are those times when we want to dig our heels in relationships. Meet my needs. Cater to me. Make sure that my needs are met. And the Holy Spirit is saying, well, if we're part of something bigger, then even in my family relationships, how can I serve? Even when I come into church, how can I serve? And as a result of that, if you have a group of people working together, asking the question, how can I serve in this area? People's needs don't go unmet. The church walks in power. What you have to realize is in Acts and in Matthew, when he's talking about these scriptures, and we were reading these scriptures, the church was persecuted at this time. The disciples were being killed for their faith. But the Bible says there were no needy people among them. How? How? We're paying, you know, $3.17 a gallon, and we feel like we're being persecuted. You know what I'm saying right now? How? Let's think about it from the context of their experience. They have a whole community of people who are being persecuted for their faith, but the Bible says they lacked nothing. They lacked nothing. If we don't read the word of God and ask him to give us revelation, we breeze by stuff that is so revelatory for our situation right now and what we're walking through that we forget, oh, wait, the Bible is actually relevant. It's relevant for today. And we just think, oh, that was a good story for a good time. And God's saying, I've actually given you the keys to the kingdom of life through that. If you just read it, I promise you it's relevant for today. We just got to dig in. We got to watch our unmet expectations. Colossians 3:13 says this, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. It's so difficult. It's so easy to read or say, but it's so difficult to put into practice. The process of walking through forgiveness is so hard. But I promise you that if you are willing to submit, humble yourself, remind yourself I'm part of something bigger, I promise you that not only will God meet your needs, but he will supersede your expectations in every area of your life, in every area of your life. The last way is this, consumerism. And I kind of debated putting this one up there. I thought it's a little, it can go either way. But I want to say it like this. If I don't look out for me, no one will. I'm going to get mine. That's consumerism. That's saying, when I come into a church, how can you meet my needs? How can you fill me up? Oh, it doesn't sound like I wanted it to say. Oh, the person that I wanted to speak wasn't up there today. Well, they don't do this like I like. They don't take offering like I like. Instead of saying, Lord, you've called me here. How can I be of service? We can't just sit and consume. We have to connect. We have to be purposeful with our relationships. And in so doing, we can play free. Because I can walk into church on Sunday morning and not say, oh, well, I didn't get what I needed for this week. What I walk into church, if I'm really living on purpose, I walk into church on a Sunday morning and I say, Lord, I'm here, use me. Here I am. How have you called me today, Lord? The last 2 weeks in team rally, if you've never been to team rally, come to team rally. It's such a great time. It's just such a spiritually uplifting time. But the last 2 weeks, we've heard testimonies of people who God has called in weird situations to just serve him. Today, Ellen talked about, I just felt like I was supposed to give these people a ride. Why? We would say that's inconvenient. And God put a nice little jewel in Ellen's crown because she just said yes to giving someone a ride. That's all it is. We make the gospel so hard. It's like, sit down. I need to tell you, Craig. We're going to exegete Romans right now. No, we make it so difficult. And God's saying, I don't care if you can exegete Romans. I just really need you to give these people a ride and tell them that I love them. That's it. Don't overcomplicate something that the Bible has called. It's not a simple word. It's a hard word. But he's given us the grace to do it. And if he's called you to do it, he's already supplied the grace for you to do it. So all you have to do is just say yes. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, I actually was obedient in that situation and I feel better. I don't feel depleted. I actually feel recharged. Something that I thought was going to deplete from me actually filled me up and it pumped me up. And okay, well, how can I serve again, Lord? If we live like that, then we live not for ourselves. We don't live for ourselves. Hebrews 6:10 says this, for God is not unjust. He will not forget He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you do still. He will not forget. He will not forget. I want you to think about the times when there are probably a plenty of times where the Lord has asked you to do something and you've been obedient to that. But then maybe you felt like, okay, Lord, they didn't even say thank you. Or, okay, Lord, when are you going to bless me? I'm still struggling here. And I'm telling you, I promise you, if you just consistently say yes, if you're consistently obedient to the work of the Holy Spirit, he's going to take your yes and continue to multiply it like we talked about before. I want to talk about, there's one instance I can give you in this, and it's a recent instance. But I want to talk about my friends John and Kathy. They started coming to TCC, I think roughly 2018 is when you guys started coming. And they were coming from a massive, large, very large church. And so they came and they just visited on a Sunday when we were still portable. Set up, tear down. This is wild. Set up, tear down. And they came and they visited. And John said that he was like, yes. And Kathy was like, I'm not sure. But they kept coming. And then eventually they said, okay, we want to make this our home church. And so they got involved. And Kathy was telling us the other day, she was like, I just wasn't sure what we were supposed to be doing. I wasn't sure what God had called us to do. But here's what she said, and I loved it. She was like, but we just decided to serve. We just decided to serve. They just kept saying yes. Richie was like, hey, can you take these flags and put them out by the road? And he was, oh yeah, sure, I'll do that. Hey, can you stand at this visitor welcome table and just welcome people? Oh sure, I'll do that. Would you guys mind praying for people when they come up here? Oh sure, we'll do that. Little things, yes. Little yeses. And then, I don't know how it happened, but they ended up saying yes to leading a small group, our emotionally healthy small group. John and Kathy have the biggest small group in our church currently today. The biggest. The biggest. And let me tell you why. It's not because many people know John and Kathy. It's because they said yes here. They said yes here. They said yes here. And then eventually their small group, their emotionally healthy small group is bigger than any other small group we offer this. Why? Because they kept saying yes to Jesus. Because they walked into church and they said, okay, Lord, if this is truly where you've called us, then we're going to say yes. And we're just going to keep saying yes. And we're going to keep saying yes. And even though we might not feel like where's like our sweet spot? And then all of a sudden the door opens up and they're like, okay, we'll teach a small group on emotionally healthy. And look at God. Look what he does. With our small yes, he makes it a big yes. Yeah. And it makes a big impact in people's lives. They may never feel like they're saying, you know, golden words that are tickling the ears of people. But what they are is available. They're making themselves available to people. And that's what happens when we come in and we have the attitude on purpose, for a purpose. God, I'm not just going to occupy space in your church. I'm going to actually be the church. That's what it looks like. And I want to encourage you today, church. This is not a long word at all. But I want to encourage you today to live on purpose for a purpose. And when you come into church, remember that we are part of something bigger. That my little yes becomes a big yes in the hands of my God. A big yes in the hands of my God. And we say this at work. We have this saying at work. And it's this: one person can do a lot, but a team working together defies the odds. That's how we change a community. When we work together, when we serve together, when we're in it together, when we're all giving God our yes, when we're all operating in our spiritual gifts, there are people in here who can teach. There are people in here who can pray. There are people here who have been called to encourage. There are people in here who have called to finances. God has called you in that way. If all of us are working together in how God has called us, we change the community. That's how we do it. We change our community for Christ when we all say yes, when we all give him our availability. When it's not, this is inconvenient, but when we say, okay, Lord, I really don't want to park my car and get out and go give that lady at the bus stop this money, but I'm going to be obedient to you because you've called me to do it. And then one life is changed. And then that person changes a life. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter if you ever see. My grandparents served so many people. I cannot even think in my mind how many people they served. Every Sunday, if there was a new visitor at church, my grandparents had them over for dinner on Sunday. Our family Sunday dinners looked like heaven because it was like, you know, there's 30 people here. Who's actually am I related to? I have no idea. This is what my childhood looked like growing up. We never, I could never count the amount of people that they served. But let me tell you something. When my grandfather died, the church was so filled, there was standing room only of people that just wanted to say, he touched my life. He touched my life. You may never know until you're looking down from heaven. Man, really, Lord? Man, really? Like, I said yes to coming to the community chapel, but actually you did so much when I was there. I have been in church my entire life. I have grown more in the last 4 years of serving at the community chapel than ever. Y'all, some of you were there the first time I spoke. Ooh. I was sitting on a stool with a migraine because I was like, worked myself up so bad. It's terrible. That's what I'm saying. Like, when you just give God your yes, it might be small and it might feel insignificant, but he grows it. Like, I was listening to Dawn today and I'm like, are you serious right now with this girl? I was like bawling thinking about it because she just said, okay, I didn't really play in church before, but I'll try. And then she's just like up here, just like loving Jesus and worshiping him, making a difference. Why? Because she was like, well, I'm part of something bigger. So I guess that means I'm going to serve. That's all it is. That's all it is. Don't complicate it. Just give God your yes and let him worry about the outcome. That's all we do. We just give him our yes. Let's stand. Band, if you want to come, I'm sorry, I forgot to say that. Church, let's be the people that consistently say yes, that we give God whatever he puts in our hands. Lord, it belongs to you. If it's your talent, I give it back to you. If it's your finances, Lord, I give it back to you. If it's your kids, Lord, I give them back to you. My marriage, I give it to you. My singleness, I give it to you. Whatever God has placed in your hands, let's just give it back to him. Let's just take it, submit it. Thank you for it. I give it back to you. And then let's watch how God consistently blows our mind with the possibilities of what could be. And then watch the reality of what it became. He's so good. He's so good. I promise you. He's so good. He's so faithful. We sang that song today. He's so faithful. I can't even count the ways that God has been faithful in my life. If I just handed over the mic, it would be popcorn testimony of God. I was praying for this and God did that. I was praying for healing and the Lord delivered this. I was praying for a family member to get healed, but actually they got saved and healed. Come on, guys. God is so faithful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. God, I thank you for this people. World changers. God, I ask that you would convict our hearts, Father God, of the things that keep us isolated. The things that keep us from being in relationship with others. God, I pray you would break off selfishness. Lord, anything that's not profitable to you, God, reveal it to us. Show it to us, Lord. I pray for each family member represented here. I pray for each family represented here today. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would change families. God, even in families, I pray, Father God, for a change in the community because of the family. We ask that you would bind us together. God, I pray that we would come into church on Sunday morning with yes in our heart. We thank you for this day. God, I thank you that your word went forth. God, I pray it doesn't return void. Lord, let it accomplish everything that you've called it to. In Jesus' name, amen.